Hi, this is Philip Battle with SSTI. I'm speaking today with Rich Lunak, President and CEO of InnovationWorks. InnovationWorks Seed Fund was the 2008 recipient of SSTI's Excellence in TVET Award in the category Increasing Access to Capital. Hi, Rich. Thanks for talking to us.
Great to be here.
So maybe you could start by giving us a little bit of background on InnovationWorks.
Sure. We're the Ben Franklin Technology Partner of Southwestern PA. We provide investment, business assistance, and hands-on support for regional technology entrepreneurs. And so we're primarily working with companies in the Pittsburgh region. And our flagship program is probably our seed fund, which since late 1999 has invested over $40 million into about 120 regional startups.
And how does that seed fund fit into the strategy of what you're doing in the Pittsburgh region?
Yeah, so here locally, I think we have a lot of key assets that I think we believe for years have not been leveraged to their fullest extent. We have some top research universities in Carnegie Mellon, University of Pittsburgh, a fair number of anchor corporations, and the like. And here locally, our seed fund is the largest seed stage investor in our region. We invest in high potential technology companies with the greatest likelihood of success. And we invest purely off the merits of the opportunity, so we don't target any particular sector. Each year we may see about 150 new companies from either industry or university partners or affiliated organizations. And over the years, we've targeted those with the best opportunity. About 54% are in the software and IT sector, about 26% in life sciences, and the remainder from advanced electronics, advanced materials, and robotics. And if you look at the makeup of our research strengths and that of many of our anchor companies, I think that reflects a lot of the best attributes, of our region. And on average, we invest about $350,000 per company.
Well, you say you're technology neutral, and you're just looking for the companies with the best chance of success. But do you have any other type of companies you target for investment?
Yeah, so our strategy is to invest very early, so we don't compete in any way with the private sector. If you think about the early stage entrepreneur and those first dollars that are so tough to come by, the average company that we invest in at the time of our investment has about 4 employees, and 86% of them are pre-revenue. So and we've seen from our data that on average we come in about 2 years prior to an early stage VC investing in those companies and about 6 months prior to a significant angel round. And I think one of the key things we do is try to identify the likely growth strategies for those companies, and with our help really target the use of our funds and our assistance to help those companies get to value-creating milestones that enable them to attract interest from those private sector investors.
So what's an average investment for you guys?
Yeah, so it's about $350,000. It's typically tranched based on performance milestones. So we have some companies that receive more than that funding, and obviously some that receive less.
So how are you working with those portfolio companies to help them raise additional funding?
Yeah, so I think really the key is in our upfront due diligence and assessment is really understanding the company, the markets it's going after, and the likely profile of an investor that would invest in that company, and making sure that the company's strategy and in particular fundraising strategy is consistent with that profile of investor, and that we get buy-in from the entrepreneurs. And then we work hard to really over the years become a trusted source of deal flow for those for those investors, and it wasn't something easy to do, particularly as a nonprofit. One of the ways that we do that is by having a team that's comprised of successful former entrepreneurs, prior investors, and other professionals that sort of have street cred with the investor community, and as a result, I think they're able to go out, understand the investor's profile and investment thesis, and then present companies that may interest that investor. And it's not uncommon for us on any given day to have a handful of investors come through our office. In fact, oddly enough, tomorrow we have the demo day for one of our programs called Alpha Lab, and we expect over 50 investors to be there to basically see a half dozen companies present and pitch. And so building that investor network has been very important for us.
So how successful have your portfolio's companies been in raising additional funding?
Yeah, so since about 2000, our portfolio out of our seed fund, so this is just the companies outside of our seed fund, have attracted over $600 million in follow-on investment. And so that's later stage investment that's coming from a variety of different investors coming into our companies. And it's critical because if you think about it, our dollars alone are typically not enough to get these companies to cash flow positive. And as economic development professionals, we obviously want to, have these companies grow and create job growth and economic benefit for our region. And so as a, important element is those companies having the kind of resources they need to grow, particularly in the form of capital. So this is a key part of what we do, and in fact, we generally see fundraising success as a leading indicator, if you will, to job growth. And a key element also is, it's not just one or two companies that have contributed to that number. As an example, last year alone, we had 26 of our portfolio companies raise over $1 million, and 10 over $5 million. The sources of those, roughly as a breakdown, about 48% of them. That investment has come from VCs, 18% from individual angels, 6% from angel groups or angel funds, 9% from placement agents, about 10% from strategic or corporate investors, 5% from federal dollars, and the rest coming from other state or local economic development dollars. And we actually track all of the rounds and data very closely because we think that influences our strategy and the types of relationships we seek to build and cultivate here in the region.
Well, I understand Pittsburgh has posted some really impressive venture capital numbers in the last few years. Can you talk a little bit about the role the seed fund has played in the Pittsburgh region and what sort of impact you guys are having?
Yeah, so it's... I think we've been, played a very important role or pivotal role. So, I just talked about the follow-on fundraising. It's important that about two-thirds of that $600 million is actually from outside our region. And, I can remember years back when we talked to out-of-town investors, Pittsburgh is what you might term as commonly a flyover state back then. And, we would walk around with our portfolio spreadsheets and information about our companies and have to give investors sort of Pittsburgh 101 and why they would, want to even consider looking here. And I think a lot of that has changed. About 70% of all the venture capital deals this past year came out of the InnovationWorks portfolio. And I think that speaks very highly to the success we've had, that it's such a large percentage of the regional venture activity. And I think it speaks to the fact that we're able to select high-potential companies. when you consider that on average we're going in about 2 years prior to those early stage VCs, I think they're doing a good job of using our funds and our assistance to get to meaningful points. And as a measure of how we've performed on a national basis, last March, the Pittsburgh Venture Capital Association looked at regions across the country and all of the top MSAs and named our region as the second fastest growing region in the country over the last 10 years. And so we're very proud of that fact and see some good momentum building here.
So what are you doing to let people know about those successes?
Yeah, so we, you know, I think we do some of the traditional things that organizations like ours do in terms of issuing annual reports and having a website and having annual meetings. But, you know, we've also, you know, made sure that the people on our team are really integrated into the community. They frequently lecture or serve on boards of, you know, partner organizations. They are professors at local universities. We, you know, our staff frequently speaks regularly. And in some cases, I think we've worked hard for some of our programs to almost serve as a focal point in the community, in the entrepreneurial community, for our companies to rally around, and that's helped to, I think, get the word out about the benefits that companies can have working with us, but also I think helped to drive some of the PR or media interest in this sector, which, you know, at the end of the day, we're trying to cultivate a thriving entrepreneurial community here, and part of that is getting the rest of the community to understand how important these companies are as future engines of growth for our region and also for constituents who know what great opportunities there are out there.
You touched briefly before on the importance of having a team of entrepreneurs working to do this, and you're an entrepreneur that's, who started a company with the help of economic development funds. What sort of influence has that had on the work you do?
Yeah, so I think the key element is that, you know, I've sort of walked in the shoes of the entrepreneur. I know what it's like to, you know, struggle to meet payroll, to commercialize products, to manage a board, to do fundraising, to try and build a key team. And I think those experiences are critical because, you know, like a lot of Midwest regions, you know, many of the entrepreneurs we work with are first-time entrepreneurs. And so, you know, understanding the struggles that they're going through and then, you know, and applying, you know, lessons learned, I think are key. And I also think, you know, in my experience, the company that I helped get off the ground with the help years back of InnovationWorks money has grown to be a very large local technology employer with about 2,000 employees and several hundred million dollars in revenues. And in my role there as a group president managing a division ultimately for a large public company that acquired us, I also got involved in acquiring other businesses and understanding how corporations look at M&A activities and run strategy and other growth initiatives. So as our companies look to exit their companies or look at corporate partners, you know, we can offer a lot from experience of that side of the table too, which comes in handy.
And what about the rest of your team? Do they have backgrounds in entrepreneurship?
Yeah, so we have a variety of individuals. Probably the core team that works with our entrepreneurs is our executive in residence team, there we try to target former entrepreneurs, CEOs, and technology executives who again have walked in the shoes of the entrepreneur, raised capital, founded companies, commercialized technology. And, you know, that group, you know, can offer a lot of assistance. They assistance to the entrepreneurs we work with. So, for example, if we run into a company that's trying to commercialize a medical device, I have a former CEO from Philips Electronics that ran a division there, is familiar with taking products through a 510K approval process, reimbursement issues, et cetera. I have a former Silicon Valley veteran and entrepreneur in a software and IT space. I have an entrepreneur who's been a tech transfer licensing officer for a university and then founded a company with a professor from that university, raised millions of dollars in investment, commercialized products that were sold to large industry partners like Motorola or Intel, and even a CEO that's taken a company public. So I think that helps give us street cred with the community we work with, and certainly helps them garner or offer a lot of expertise.
Well, that certainly sounds valuable. How do you keep talented individuals like that around?
Yeah, well, oddly, we think that if we're attracting the kind of talent and the individuals that that we want, that they're probably not going to stay here a long time, and that's not a bad thing. I mean, our executive in residence, many of them have over the years left to take senior positions in entrepreneurial companies, and since having key talent is such an important element of growing companies, that's not a bad thing. We also have a strategic HR consulting role on our staff, which, as you think about it, having technology and funding is just two elements, but building a world class team to commercialize and grow with a company is key. So we actually have a person that helps our company identify talent needs and place top talent. And over the last, say, 18 months to 2 years, we've placed around 43 senior executives into a local company. So all of that is a way that we help solve one of the key elements in our region, which is, acquiring the right kind of talent to grow businesses.
So, Rich, do you have any advice for organizations trying something similar in their regions?
Yeah, so I think, first of all, I think hiring a great team, and in particular one that has private sector and experience in the entrepreneurial sectors, is probably the most important element. At the end of the day, I think the number one resource an organization has is their talent, and that's been key. I think in investing, making sure that you're investing in businesses and not technologies is key. We, at the end of the day, really want to understand, the value proposition and go-to-market strategies and really the business of the companies we're investing in, and not get too wrapped up in intriguing or, types of technologies. That's been key. Selecting deals with funding strategies consistent with the type of investors that are most likely to be attracted. I think a common mistake is assuming every company is going to be on a venture path, when in fact, it's a minority of companies that ultimately attract venture capital. So really understanding the broad variety of funding sources and then targeting and making sure that companies have strategies consistent with that. And then lastly, understanding the investors that that you try to target, and work hard to build up that network and become a trusted deal source. And that's taken us years to do, but at present is really a key element to our success, and I think will serve us well, not only today, but in the future.
Well, Rich, thank you for talking to us. And if our listeners want any more information about InnovationWorks, I believe they can find it at innovationworks.org.
That's correct.
And more information about the SSTI Excellence and TBET Awards is available at sstiawards.org. Well, thanks again, Rich.
I appreciate it. Thank you.